I better call Clark.
Is Steve coming?
He'll be along a little later. He has a business meeting right now. It's conflicting. I'll be right back. I'm gonna call Clark.
There's some of them. Yeah, there's a the old night depository thing is now moving things.
Thank you. Okay, well, I left him a message, so I think we will call the meeting to order, and hopefully he can join us. And Steve will jump on as soon as his business meeting is over. So I'll grab my agenda here. Our first order of business is a resolution classifying a conditional use permit for continuation of an existing commercial. Oh, do I need to call a meeting to order? I don't need a second for that, do I?
No.
Okay. Resolution classifying a conditional use permit for continuation of an existing commercial dock operation for the transport and shipment of goods and materials at 175 South Front Street as a type 1 action under the State Environmental Quality Review Act, SEQR, and referral to the Columbia County Planning Board for a review. Victoria, would you put up? Okay, great. So, Board, as you know, we've all been going back and forth the last week or so about this resolution and that we wanted the action to be classified as a type 1, and Larry really did a lot of the bones of this work, and then Clark and I convened to talk more about it, and then we shared the proposed resolution with all of you and Victoria, and since then I have Victoria's added some tightened up legal language, which I don't write, and we also in the resolution missed the fact that the project is substantially contiguous to some National Historic Register sites. So we have added that as well.
I'm having trouble. Hold on. Here we go. Okay.
Great. Okay, so you'll find in looking at this resolution, Board, that it is substantially the same as the one that I sent you, the revised one that I sent you from Victoria the other day, but I'd like you to take a minute just to take a read and make sure that you understand the changes.
Betsy, could you just tell me the changes from the one that you sent us?
Can I explain, Betsy?
Yeah, please do.
So on the one, the prior one still classified it as a type one, mm-hmm. But if you look at the applicant's EAF that they submitted with their application, it indicated that the project was not contiguous to any National Register or eligible sites. Mm-hmm. So we went ahead and ran the EAF mapper, which is a tool that the Department of Environmental Conservation puts out. So you put in the property address and it'll pull up all of the sensitive sites. And when you do that, let me see if I can pull that up. It indicated that there were two sites that were substantially contiguous to the project site: the Railway Steel Spring Foundry and the Boston Railroad Shop. And so we just revised the resolution to include those references as well.
So, Board, the railway steel spring foundry is known to us today as the Basilica. And the Boston Railroad Shop is known to us today as the Dunn Warehouse. But on the National Historic Register listing, they're listed the way we have it here in this resolution.
Is the fact that we have a park nearby, is that listed in this too?
Yes, it is. That was listed in the original one that we sent. It's the last whereas. The project is substantially contiguous to a public park.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that was still there. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely it is. So basically the last two whereases are the updated version to include the historic register sites, because that's important.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
And those are the only changes from the one that you sent us?
I think you changed zoning to zoning law from zoning code.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I mean, there were a few little technical changes, but those are the
okay.
But no substance was changed. She just, where I had written code, she wrote law. And absolutely no other substantive changes to the language that would change the meaning of this resolution at all. So if I could have a motion to approve this and a second, then we can have additional conversation about this if needed. So do I have a motion?
No move.
Thank you, John. Second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Laura. Any more conversation about this?
May I please be heard before you vote?
That's John.
That's John Privatera.
So, sir, it's not a public hearing. You're not required to let them speak, but you may.
Board? How do we feel? Would you like to hear from John?
Yeah, I'd like to hear.
Okay.
I mean, I'd rather have his thoughts public than us wondering what he was going to say, so yeah.
Okay, I agree. John?
Yes, thank you. I appreciate, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
I appreciate what you found on the EAF mapper when we did that, or at least when consultants did that for me, that did not pick up. But I will tell you that there are some mistakes in this draft resolution. For a very long period of time, several times, Ryan Weitz has said that it's an unlisted action on the record. Andrew Howard said it was an unlisted action on the record. Jeff Baker said it was an unlisted action on the record. And initially, Victoria said that as well. I have said that repeatedly. And what's missing in this draft resolution is that it's only a type one action if more than 25% of the acreage is being disturbed. And that is the difference between an unlisted action and a type one. If I were building something and proposed improvements on this acreage, and I was disturbing that much acreage, you would have to call it a type one. I'm not disturbing any acreage or making any improvements. This is not a discretionary call. This isn't a gut call. This isn't something to be debated. This is a lookup. And if you look it up, it's an unlisted action. And you notice in the language of this draft resolution, you are unable to make a finding that we're disturbing any land. So on its face, it's not in accordance with the regulations, and we object to it. It's a mistake.
Just go ahead. Just to respond, the board has consultants, but you act as a body, and so ultimately you're responsible for making the decision of what to classify it as, and that's what this resolution does. And I will say that as the resolution lays it out, it's the idea that the project is on a 2.5 acre and is being reviewed sort of ab initio. And that's where there's a physical disturbance of 2.5 acres.
Where is the physical disturbance?
It's the whole project site.
Are we going to litigate this now? I mean,
yeah, this is kind of crazy.
Because, you know, this is now beyond my, you know, just very easy understanding. And I really want to trust the work that the board has done and the work that you have done, Victoria. So could I just safely say that I can trust the work of the board and of Victoria in making a determination on my vote? Because otherwise we're getting into legal arguments that I what, you know, I don't think that the board is prepared for at this time. But I'm glad to listen to it, if that's what we want to do.
Victoria?
You also told us at the last meeting that it doesn't make a substantial difference whether or not this is with a listed type one or a listed unlisted action.
It's true, you're following the same procedure for a type one action. You know, we've already had an in-depth discussion about the physical disturbance of 2.5 acres at the last meeting and you know, what that means and what it doesn't mean. So right now you have a resolution before you. You've heard Mr. Privatera's objections. So, you know, the board can vote.
The board, are we ready to vote? It sounds to me as though we are.
Yes, I think we are.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Linda.
Betsy.
Yes.
Larry.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
Laura.
Yes.
Oh, we don't have Clark or Stephen. Teresa.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. Victoria, in terms of what's our next step here? Is it POSDEC, NEGDEC? And not necessarily today.
That is the next step, but that's not a today step. The next step is for the applicant to put together the packages. Because of COVID and limited resources, the applicant is going to be responsible for mailing out the packages and the 239M referral. Hello. So in the next month, you'll start getting responses back from some of those agencies. And then, you know, you can start to go through those responses and information provided to you by Mr. Weitz, and you'll do part two, and if needed, part three of the EAF. And as you're doing that, that's when you'll decide to vote on a negative declaration or a positive declaration. So, you should really wait till we get back all of that information.
Thank you very much for that explanation. Or do you have any other questions about the process for Victoria?
No. I have a slight question. Clark just arrived.
Hello, Richard Lane.
Hi, Clark.
Do we ask him for his vote, or is the vote closed, or how do we manage that?
I think the vote's been taken.
Done.
Okay.
Is that
I'm trying to count. There was a quorum present without
Clark. Yeah, it's a quorum.
The vote's over. Motion passed.
Okay. All right. Great. Okay, moving on to our next agenda item, which is 502 Union Street, lovingly known as the Spark, a site plan application from the Spark of Hudson LLC to convert a professional office building at 502 Union Street into a mixed commercial residential use with a coffee shop, event space, classroom, training, and residential. And board, you'll remember that we kept the comment period for public hearing for written comments open for 10 days. And I did receive two letters from neighbors, which are posted on the website, if you've had a chance to take a look. I forwarded those letters on to Chad Lundberg, the engineer for the project, who then forwarded them on to Albert and Susan, who are undertaking the project. They very cordially responded to the neighbors. They've had a back and forth. I have also posted that response from Albert and Susan to Erlinda has posted, I think, to the website. So that correspondence is all there. So I will, if we want to have discussion about the Spark, now is the time to do it, asking any questions. Albert and Susan are both here. Chad is here. So do you all have any questions for the Spark people?
I just have one curiosity question that occurred to me. Will the rooms there be rented to people, or will they be offered gratis to artists and people who come into town to other events and things like that?
Do you want to take that? Okay, so the intention is to use the rooms for trainers that may be coming up from the city that will be, or other places around the world, to artists in the community. It is possible that we may charge something like a house cleaning fee, something like that, but the intent there is not to really have it be a money maker. It's really just a question of...
All right, thanks.
I just want to say, I mentioned this last week, that... and I think that's a good question, John, but, you know, really, truly, if the Spark wants to charge for people to stay there, and it's a way that a not-for-profit can make a couple extra dollars, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, you know, as long as code agrees, I just want to, as a person that runs a not-for-profit, question has been asked of you a few times.
Yeah. The question came up just because of all the short-term rental conversation that's been going on.
Yeah.
And it was just something that, you know, you think as you read, and it was
no,
something that popped
it's
into
totally
my head.
Yeah,
it's
totally
that
fair question. You're not going to find this. We're not going to put this on Airbnb, just to be completely clear.
All right.
That would not be smart to put that on the Airbnb.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you know, to other organizations have guests in, you know, artists in, and they're going to rent that from you. I think that's a fine.
I think it's a great
appreciate
idea.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, board. Is there any other conversation? Any other questions?
No, I just wanted to say I appreciate the responsiveness of the applicant to the. To the neighbors, and it's nice to see that folks are able to raise issues and that the applicant listens to those concerns, addresses them, and then the neighbor apparently is happy. But that's, you know, that's how it ought to be.
That was our intent.
Yeah, our view is that this is the very purpose of this process, and if we were neighbors and we had taken the time to write a letter, we would expect it to be answered. So,
appreciate it.
Thank you very much for doing that. It was a great show of neighborliness. So, board, would we like to the public hearing portion of this is closed now? Shall we take a vote on whether or not to approve or disapprove this site plan and this application? Are you ready to do that?
Any conditions?
Excuse me, Laura, Linda.
Were there any conditions?
I believe that, we talked about 10 p.m.
Yeah.
No outside after 10 p.m. Right? Were there other conditions, board? That's the one that I recall.
I don't remember.
Was 60 South? 60 South.
Oh.
For 10 p.m.?
Yeah, that was
for 60 South.
Yeah, that was...
It's not something that has come up in prior discussion.
Well, I think I would like to make that a condition, is that there would be no amplified music or speakers or anything amplified, no amplified noise outside after 10.
Right.
Any other conditions? Okay, do I have a motion, please, to approve the application from the Spark?
I'll make that motion.
Laura, thank you. John, thank you. Linda, your turn.
Larry.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
Betsy.
Yes.
Lisa.
Yes.
Laura.
Yes.
And Clark.
Yes.
Great, thank you. Okay, congratulations, and we wish you great success with your project. I will need 3 copies, complete copies of your application and your site plans, and I will stamp them and get them back to you, get one back to you and get the others to City Hall and the planning board files.
Thank you very much. I'll have those to you Wednesday, Betsy.
Perfect, Chad.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much, and we really appreciate this, especially during this time where it's difficult to do anything. So thank you very much. Okay.
Best of luck to you. Yes.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. So now board review and approve the minutes from June 9th. Has everybody had a chance to review those? That meeting that went on so long ago.
But it's still so fresh in our minds.
This is the June one, not the
marathon
mega one.
The other long meeting.
Any changes, edits, suggestions? Okay, do I have a motion, please, to approve the minutes from the June 9th meeting?
I'll do it.
Yay!
And I'll second it.
Hey, John!
It's just a John and Laura show tonight.
We're on a roll here, Laura.
I know.
Okay, Linda.
Larry.
I just got off a boat.
Yes. John.
Yes.
Betsy.
Yes.
Teresa.
I didn't even hear him yet.
Good grief. And Clark and Laura.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll vote next one.
Okay. And our next order of business is, if I can drag them up here, I have 2 bills for us to approve. One is for Barton and LaJudas. For Ryan's hours on the Colarusso project. Colarusso has replenished our escrow account, so we do have plenty to cover this bill for $1,474 from May 23rd. So I'd like a motion to approve payment of that, please.
So moved.
Thank you, Teresa.
I'll second.
Thank you, Larry.
Okay, Larry.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
Betsy.
Yes.
Teresa.
Yes.
Laura.
Yes.
And Clark.
Yes. Okay. And our second bill is to pay for Victoria's services, Rodenhausen, Shale, and Polidoro. This is for us. $934.50 to pay for Victoria's time.
Was that the one withdrawn?
Sorry?
Wasn't the one withdrawn?
The $52.50 part was withdrawn for $620.
Okay, so this is $934.
Betsy, does this include both Front Street and, well, 60 Front Street and the dock operations, or?
This is her total time spent. Was she on 60? She wasn't on 60 South Front. It was just Colarusso. And she was supposed to be on 620 Union, which was the hotel project.
Yeah. Right.
And she billed about $52 worth of time to that, but we didn't have an escrow for it. So she very kindly withdrew that.
Okay.
So this is just to pay from escrow for her time on the Colarusso application.
I'm going to leave my phone here. Okay, don't put it in the water. I'm leaving my phone here. Don't put it in the water.
So do I have a motion to approve payment to Rodenhausen, Shale, and Polidoro?
So moved.
Thank you, John. Second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Larry. Meet you. Never mind. Linda?
Clark?
Yes.
Laura?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Betsy?
Yes.
John and Larry?
Yes.
All right, then, board, this is not on our agenda, so I need all of you to agree that we can discuss this. This just came to me from David Kessler, who's the 620 Union Street applicant. We approved the hotel project at our last meeting. He wanted to tweak the language that I wrote up as a condition on the EIF. And what I had written is, quote, once the project is completed, the applicant must purchase 31 municipal parking permits from the city clerk when such permits become available. And he would like it to say, within 30 calendar days after the permanent certificate of occupancy is issued for the project, the applicant will purchase 31 parking permits for the municipal parking lots from the city Hudson clerk if 31 annual parking permits are available for purchase at that time. The annual parking permit shall be easily transferable between vehicles and purchased at the same annual rate that the permits are being sold to others at that time. I think that's a very fair and complete and actually way better than the scribble I put on his EIF.
I agree.
I agree. I just have one question, Betsy. Are they asking us to, approve the language change without anything else being, we don't have to go back to public hearing and we don't have to re-vote on the project and all that?
This is only a language change, Larry. That's absolutely right. He just wanted to have, from the time he got his certificate of occupancy, he wanted 30 days to get all those parking permits purchased. And I think that's absolutely fair. And he just cleaned up the language.
Yeah, no, it makes total sense to me.
It doesn't change the intent.
I don't think that your language was bad, Betsy. I know this is a really silly question. I just want to make sure that the way you worded it, I would not have thought this, but let's just say that only 25 parking spaces are available for him to purchase. If they don't have 31, he can still rent a lesser amount, right?
Yeah, I think that's
why he said those that are available to purchase.
Yeah.
So that's why I like his language better, actually, than mine.
As long as it can be whatever's available to 31.
Yeah, that's what he said here. He'll purchase municipal parking from the Hudson City Clerk if 31 annual parking permits are available for purchase at that time. And I can tweak that to say up to 31.
I would just change it so it means, it doesn't mean that if 31 aren't available, I don't have to get any.
That's right. I understand completely.
So, yeah, if you'll tweak that to mean that.
And I wouldn't put it up to 31. I would leave it at 31 and condition it on how many are available, rather than if you say up to 31.
Yeah.
It gets 19 and it'll say, well, I did it as far up to 31 as I wanted to go.
Right. So what do you think it should say?
I think it's fine as it is.
Does a language say every year? Does a language imply annually? I guess I missed that.
We did not say that.
Ooh. What? So he could do it in 1 year and then say the language isn't clear past year one.
Well, I think it needs to be.
No, wait a minute. It's an annual parking permit.
But the parking permit might be annual, but doesn't mean he's going to do it annually.
Annually. That was certainly our intent.
Yeah.
Sorry. I was wrong.
Well, this is why it's good to have a lawyer, because not that we're bad, but every little word makes a difference. That's the only thing that worries me.
That's okay. Again?
Yes. Within 30 calendar days after the permanent certificate of occupancy is issued for the project, the applicant will purchase 31 parking permits for the municipal parking lots from the Hudson City Clerk if 31 annual parking permits are available for purchase at that time. The annual parking permits shall be easily transferable between vehicles and purchased at the same annual rate that the permits are being sold to others at that time.
So I think just in that last sentence, if it's just after the word purchase, add the word annually.
Annually.
I agree.
And then we should be fine.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
That's a good catch, Clark.
Sounds good.
Very good.
I was late, but I made up for it.
There you go. Okay, so given that amendment to our change of condition on the eve, do I have a motion to accept David's language with that one amendment of adding the word annually?
I move that we accept the language as amended.
Thank you, Larry. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thanks, Clark. Do your thing, Linda.
Clark.
Yes.
Okay. Laura.
Yes.
Lisa.
Yes.
Betsy.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
Larry.
Yes.
Record time, board. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Do we have any other business that anyone just is dying to bring up?
Come on now. I move we adjourn.
Thank you, John. Do I have a second?
I second.
All right. Great. Thank you all.